Amen. Well, it's great to see you all here today. It's wonderful. We've got Methodists and Congregationalists. We've got people from New Hampshire and Vermont. Probably have some Republicans and some Democrats. All here together, worshiping God in this beautiful place on this beautiful day. And I, as a preacher, am especially happy to see you all here because you could be over at Lucky's enjoying a cup of coffee, or you could be at one of the lakes nearby, or you could have gone to the beach or gone hiking in the mountains. But instead, you're sitting here listening to me. Wow. Okay, maybe I can warm you up with a joke. This is an old story. Some of you may have heard some version of it before. Jesus is in a boat with a friend, and they're enjoying a beautiful day, and it's lovely, and then all of a sudden, Jesus realizes he's left something on shore. So he tells his friend, "I've got to go back and get something." And the guy says, "No problem. We can just sail back, and you can find whatever it is you need." And Jesus says, "No, no, no. Don't worry about it. I'll take care of it." So he hops out of the boat, and he walks back to the shore. And he gets his missing thing. And then he walks back to the boat. And his friend is amazed. And he asks, "How did you do that? How did you walk on the water?" And Jesus chuckled and said, "I know where the rocks are." Okay, you can all laugh. You can groan if you want. But there is a lesson in this story. And it's not so much about Jesus as it is about us. Today, a lot of modern people are very uncomfortable with motorcycles, with the talk of miracles that we encounter in the scripture. And they'll take something that is sacred and they'll make it profane, or at least they'll make it the object of humor, of jokes. They'll try to make these things a lot smaller. Perhaps you've encountered some of that. Perhaps you felt that yourself. At the very least, I suspect some of you have been in churches and heard a preacher talk about this passage. And he or she has told you that the miracle isn't so much that God made all the bread and all the fish available for the people to eat, but once the boy was held up in front of the crowd, everybody felt guilty or shamed or encouraged. And then they looked inside their clothes and their bags and they discovered that, guess what? They had food with them. And then they all shared it, and that was the miracle. I don't buy it. There's nothing in the text that suggests that people had food hidden away. More importantly, if we take such an interpretation to be true, God is taken out of the story. There's nothing for him to do. And it's all left to you and me, to people, to take care of our problems. That is not the message that John was trying to share. That is not the message that the other writers of the Gospels were trying to share. And this story was clearly important to them, for it shows up in all four Gospels. The story of the feeding of the 5,000 shows up in all four Gospels. And in three of the Gospels, the story of Jesus walking on the water follows immediately thereafter. So what's going on? What is John trying to do here? Do you remember how John starts his Gospel? In the beginning, there was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus was the Logos. Jesus was centrally important to the story of the universe, to the story of humanity. John wants the people to know that Jesus is here, that Jesus is present, that Jesus is indeed the fulfillment and the fruition of a promise that had been made long ago. This wasn't some wild story. It was something that Israel had been expecting. And we see the form of the story of the feeding of many people with just a little food had been known for a long time. It's there in 2 Kings in the story of Elisha. And it goes back even further, because there are certain motifs from Exodus that we see in this passage. We see God feeding people. In the desert, it was with manna. And here, it is with the loaves and fishes. We see God conquering the water. In fact, with the Exodus, it was Moses parting the seas. And here, it is Jesus walking on the Sea of Tiberias. God is leading the people in Exodus out of slavery into freedom, and in the gospel out of life that is shaped by sin into a new life filled with possibility, shaped by God's love. That doesn't sound like we can take care of it by ourselves. And we don't have to. As we heard before in the children's sermon, God is in our corner. God will provide. Now, some of you may believe in miracles, no problems, no issues. Some of you may be skeptical. But my guess is that everybody here believes in something. You're drawn to some kind of story, some kind of images. Maybe you like Star Wars. Maybe you like Harry Potter. And there's stories of magic, and there's stories of the Force. People believe in angels, even if they don't go to church. People believe that there are forces larger than ourselves at work in the world. And for those of you who are scientists, who just live by the facts, we know that in recent years, the universe has been revealed to be a lot stranger than we ever expected. And I don't think anybody here has ever seen a muon or a lepton or a quark. But we believe in them. We believe in a reality that is larger than ourselves, that is greater than ourselves. But the question is, what do we want that reality to do? What do we want it to be? Are we looking for some kind of magic with which we can manipulate the world, where we can reward our friends and punish the people we don't like? Are we looking for something that we can control? Or are we instead looking to the God who has made himself known to us in Jesus Christ? God works through signs. He works through wonders. And in the times of the Bible, people were disposed to believe in miracles. And so God worked through them. Now today we may not be so disposed. And so God finds other ways to communicate with us and to make his love and his grace known. And I would suggest that you look out amongst this crowd at one another, at friends old and friends new, and you will see God's love. This story is indeed about miracles. There's the miracle of the feeding. There's the miracle of Jesus walking on the water. But there is also the miracle of God's love for you and you and you and you and me. And when you think about it, that is amazing. There isn't some random, nameless, uncaring force at work in the universe. There is a God who has named us and who has created us, who has fashioned us, and who loves us. So think about that when you go to get a cup of coffee, when you go to work, when you go to play, when you go to the beach. Think about what a miracle it is that God loves us, and God is waiting for us to respond in kind.